Welcome back, everybody, to Pack Your Mics. We are the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read and Weep. This is episode number 17, the big, gigantic sigh episode. As we introduce ourselves this week, just to try to make everybody feel a little bit better, let's all say something happy about anything. So I'll start. I'm Alex Falcone. I'm in Portland, and I wrote a story this week about a woman who gets paid to eat food on television in Korea. She has a web show, and people pay to watch her eat.
Sexy way?
No. In like a isn't this an amazing amount of food way?
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a
It's not a fetish thing. It's just about people liking to watch people eat food because they're increasingly disconnected in this modern world.
Here's the question.
The story led me to believe.
Do they pay for food costs?
Why is that a happy thought?
Because I just think it's wonderful that she found her true calling.
In your story that you wrote?
No, that I read.
Oh. You wrote it.
It was on the paper.
I thought you wrote it. Yeah,
oh, you guys
say that
heard that.
I got to write a story this week about a...
That is also
I definitely
what I heard.
Said that I read. I'm yeah. sure everybody...
It's just that you talked quickly.
Play back the tape.
Anyway, I think
whoops,
it's just...
everyone.
Anyway, this is a trend of in South Korea, and I think it's just delightful that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I mean,
you don't think that's delightful?
Yeah, no, it's nice, but my question is, does she have to pay for food costs? Because otherwise, I'll blow most of the budget.
No, she's making a living doing it, so it's way over the food costs. That's what she does for a living, is just eats on YouTube, basically.
Maybe she's a really good eater, like our friend Jackie. We have a friend who
I would pay money
really
to watch her. Yeah, I would pay money to watch her.
What does Jackie do?
Like, she knows her way around a crudité or
also
something?
Also, Padma.
Padma's a really delightful eater.
Padma's
a
really delightful eater.
Yeah. No, well, the
we
thing
do
about,
sort of pay to watch Padma eat.
Yeah, that's basically with her time. I know, the thing about Jackie, she just kind of like, it's like she gets like tunnel vision and like the world disappears outside of the plate of food and she just kind of like hunches over and just like goes to town. Yeah. But she's very serious about it.
But hunches over. So it's not like she's not presentational at all.
No.
It's very like,
from the side,
you watch from
the side still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes. Wow.
Yeah, it's sort of like watching a lion and her prey.
All right, Megan, what's your happy thought this week?
My happy thought is that it snowed in Portland.
Yeah.
There's so much snow.
How much snow have you guys got?
We got
enough to close everything.
A snow day yesterday, amount of snow.
Yeah,
how much?
Oh, I don't know, a couple inches, but it's enough that the whole city shut down.
Yeah.
And yay.
Normally I find that irritating because I have things to do, but it was great because Megan stayed home from work yesterday.
Yay.
Hung out in the snow. It was great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. In San Francisco, it's Ezra and Sarah. What are you guys' happy thoughts this week?
Let's see. This is Sarah, not Ezra.
What?
My happy thought is that it's finally raining and it's super cozy. And I'm not drinking tea right now, but it makes me want to drink like a nice steaming
weather.
Cup of tea. And that makes me happy.
Yeah, it's tea weather. We haven't got a lot of tea days.
No.
And
New York has a whole tea, Dave.
Yeah, it's true. They will need it for all the weather they're getting.
I would take.
It's always tea, Dave weather in New York.
Always tea, Dave in New York.
I would take a tea day and a tea, Dave.
Oh, that would be a nice day.
All at once and be the happiest girl in the world.
Wow.
Awesome. Ezra, what's yours?
This morning, Sarah brought me some coconut water. It was like pretty much the best thing one could get in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, it turns out.
Electrolytes.
Everybody needs to dehydrated. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel better. Like, I don't know. I don't know what brand of coconut water we can endorse. So let's just endorse the brand of coconuts.
Not the kind with the racist radio commercials.
Right. Not the racist. What?
There's racist coconut water?
Definitely not the racist coconuts. We don't want
to. I'm glad we didn't buy them, but.
Is it the water of racist coconuts or the water itself becomes racist?
Yeah, it's
once
like,
removed?
Here's how you feel good about this. Don't worry. These coconuts that we killed, totally racist.
Yeah.
They're old trees, you know?
It was their time, the different era.
Different time. Yeah. All right. Well, it's coconut water in the water in the morning, fully hydrated. In Brooklyn, it's Chris and T. Dave. What are you guys' happy thoughts for the day?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, one is I'm happy I made it back from my other engagement in order to be here.
Yay.
It was a close call.
It was down to the wire, but it worked out. And while I was on the subway, I saw a street style photographer that I really like, and it was very exciting.
Oh, who'd you see?
Tell me Tommy Tan.
You saw Tommy Tan?
I saw Tommy Tan on the subway. And I was like, yo! I mean, no, I didn't actually say yo, but I was really happy.
Just the entire subride ride, you're just like,
yeah, and he was flanked by like all of the freshest people, and they were all being friends together, and it was so nice.
And you like swag friends.
Well, like one of them, like a group of them came up to the other group and were like, "Hey, you guys like to take photographs?" And then they all started laughing, and I was like, "This is the best."
That's how I imagine cool people.
That was
people.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Chris, what's your happy thought?
My happy thought is, as ever, a tiny kitten chasing a string around a living room.
Aww. Aww. That's delightful.
Yours is a non-specific happy thought.
No, but whenever I want to be happy, I'm just like, oh my gosh.
That's pretty good. I'm picturing now.
I like to think of a tiny kitten chasing good. A gigantic string around a living room. Like, just like, this is impossibly big for me. I'm just a kitten.
Also, even the other way around, right? Like a gigantic string chasing a tiny kitten?
No, that's not cute. That's not cute anymore.
I think they're playing.
And the kitten will do that thing where they about face in the air.
Oh, jump spin. Yeah.
Maybe we just talk about kittens. I don't know if there was a last episode of Top Chef.
Yeah.
Ooh,
here on Top Kitten.
Yeah. All right. The show ended after episode 16, mysteriously canceled, and
we'll never know.
Everything
some
worked
hypotheses
out.
Hypotheses about like what people's turtles are up to.
Oh man, she's my princess.
We miss you, Fabio.
I, as much as I would like to do that, guys, I feel like we have to.
Reality comes crashing down on us?
I think so, you know?
Reality TV.
You know, the reality TV comes crashing down on us.
Bad.
Yeah. Chris, why don't you do the honors of just telling us about the last challenge?
Oh, yeah. So the last challenge, I mean, our two finalists are Nicholas and Nina.
Mm-hmm.
After Shirley and Lewis got eliminated. Sorry, I have a little bit of a cold. But so their challenge is just, you know, kind of the same thing as most finals. It's, cook the meal of your life. And, they're both assigned, they both get a restaurant to take over and they're going to cook 4-course meals or more, I guess, in Nina's case. Mm-hmm. And they get to pick 3 of the eliminated contestants or 3 of a subgroup of the eliminated contestants.
Yeah. Recently eliminated. Not recently eliminated. Was it?
Yeah. Except oddly for Justin, but
yeah, no Justin, know. No Michael.
No,
a random selection.
A long time ago. Yeah,
maybe a smattering.
You had to opt in.
Yeah, but, maybe you did have to opt
everyone
in.
Else wanted to go home.
Because it was like Surf Truck was there, and he was really early on.
Thing that they like have a little like clipboard, and you just check yes or no. Like, will you show up to Hawaii and stand in a line?
Yeah, and get possibly not chosen, but get to stay in a hotel.
Yeah. So Nick won the last challenge, as of course we discussed last week, and his advantage was he doesn't just get to be first captain; he gets to pick all 3 of his sous chefs from the group. First,
including highly, like, I guess, sought after Jason.
Yeah,
Surf Truck.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, good old Surf Truck. Well, his favorite,
his bestie. I mean, like, they really are friends, and that counts for a lot in the kitchen as far as communication.
And he did do him well.
Yeah.
I mean, and it kind of worked out, so fine.
well,
according to Tom, but
not his bras. He picked.
Well, he did.
What was that, Megan?
Oh well. That dish. Well, we'll discuss it later. But
yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah.
It's very interesting.
He took a dish straight off of Jason's menu, and Jason prepared it for one of his 4 courses. So the meal of Nicholas's life includes somebody else cooking one of the dishes for him, from start to finish. And that was Tom's favorite dish of the year, and probably was
it included
the decider.
Friendship.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he picked Jason and Brian for some reason.
No.
And also Lewis.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. And then
Nina you're right.
Picked Shirley and Stephanie and her bestie, Travis.
Right, so each of them got a derpy contestant.
slightly derpy. Wait, are you saying Brian is the derpy?
Yeah, Brian, derpy. Yeah. Okay. Ficus is a little derpy, and so is Travis, but they're both lovely, and they both did fine. But they're both, like, not the best chefs there and are kind of, like, dorky and happy. They're fun.
Well, that confirmed our prediction, too, about why Nina didn't get Lewis. Because Nicholas,
right? Because Nicholas could have picked.
Because I think she probably would have picked Shirley, Stephanie, and Lewis.
Yeah,
yeah. So we're guessing that he would get to pick first. We did not guess that he would pick all 3 first, but it's not a huge change.
Yeah, And actually, I think Nina still got a pretty good pick because Nicholas
was choosing
to. Yeah, according to our armchair quarterbacking is a bad picker, even though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you don't pick Shirley first, because not only did she beat you every challenge except the last one, she also, the thing she was famous for is being able to copy anyone's style really, really well. She would be the perfect person for this, for to be a Sue here.
Yeah, like,
whereas Brian, Shirley, what is Ficus's perfect skill?
Oh, he's sauce. He's the perfect saucy.
He's the moderate saucy.
He wasn't on your team when you did that thing that got Stephanie sent home.
Oh, that's true.
I think that's probably why Shirley didn't end up.
Yeah.
On Nicholas's. That's team. True.
He wasn't available for the picking.
Who? Carrie.
Carrie.
Doughy Eyes from Seattle.
She didn't check yes.
Yeah, she didn't
want to comply and stand in the line.
Okay, so for the courses, let's see. Nicholas, his concept was just lots of things that he likes to cook. I'm not sure that he had anything.
No, it was like where French is going.
Yeah, where
modern French technique.
Modern French, very technical stuff.
This sounds a little dirty, right? Where French is going?
French is going to the back seat later.
Like my vice principal of my middle school used to say, touching leads to other things.
Oh man.
Touching is the gateway drug? Is that
touching leads to other touching?
That was one of his favorites.
Just like heavy petting leads to heroin. It's that straight line.
Yeah, it's a very direct relationship.
So I guess I'll just go course by course and compare, because I feel like that'll lead us to some.
Shall we start there? Do you want to do that already?
Well, okay. Never mind. I mean, Nicholas made technical French food. Nina made island food meets Italian food, which is basically the intersection of her technique stuff.
Right.
Just to wrap up the summary, Nicholas won.
Well, and also
in the closest Top Chef ever, they spent 4 hours in deliberation and
starting at 11.
That they 11 to 3 a.m. They during that time, in order to settle the debate, they all had to agree on a numerical scoring system that they devised during that time, and then all committed to. And it turns out Nicholas won 11-9.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not even that close, actually.
What
do you mean? Well, the fact they had to devise a scoring system.
One vote
the scoring system. I thought the scoring system was just a judge gets one vote per dish on who won each round.
That's
on each course.
And that's how they actually wound up deciding.
So five judges. Four courses, 20 votes. Anyway,
even though Nina made extra stuff that
did not get judged, which is, I think it's fair to not judge it. But I think it would also be fair to judge it, so I don't know. Because, like, Nicholas got to make... I don't know. I mean, I can see the argument on both sides of that. Like, Nicholas got to make apple 32 ways, and you judge all 32 preparations, so why not give her...
But you only judge it as one.
Yeah, Nicholas made just the four courses. They both made desserts as their fourth course. Nina made extra stuff, and instead of making extra stuff, Nicholas swore at his servers.
Yeah, that was he spent that extra time berating strangers in public.
Throwing a hissy fit.
One other thing I think is important to mention in the summary is there was no twist in the final episode. This was as straight of a final episode as possible. There was no bonus course.
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah. There was no... It was not in Kitchen Stadium. It was not on a tennis court. There was no... None of your... Like, your Sues didn't get taken away from you on short notice. This was just cook a great meal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, the twist, I guess, could be that it was plotted sort of like a sitcom where somebody might die at the end. Yeah. So they started out with like everybody at judges' table being like, "This was incredible.
Oh
this is the closest thing ever." And then like 48 hours earlier, kind of hilarious.
Weird. Yeah, there was a bit of a
film noir.
Well, so let's talk about this first. Let's talk about how we found out. Did anybody else get it spoiled for you before the show?
No. Yes.
No.
Chris, you did.
I got, so it's my fault for not watching it live.
Right.
But, you know, our fans are great and already started reacting, and I have push notifications sent to my devices.
I've been living in a box made of work and stress, so I didn't know.
Yay. I don't get the push notifications from fans because I try not to look until I find out, but I got an email from my mom like an hour later after it aired that was like, "Have you seen it yet?" And that can only mean one thing. Because nobody would, like, with these two options, nobody would be really excited to tell me Nina won. Like, no one cares. That'd be like, yes, obviously. So, and I got, like, and it wasn't just my, not to not to bust on my mom, because like I got like seven of those emails from different people, and I also just happened to look at Twitter that night before I went to sleep, and somebody was like, one of my friends, a great comic, Amy Miller here in town, she was just said, I'm not comfortable with a top chef who kisses his mom on the mouth that often.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
Was freaky. Yeah. What was that?
Which was super creepy.
That's how it is in their family.
The mom seemed uncomfortable with it as well.
Yeah, she said like, no. He kissed her after she said no. It was many things against him. Anyway, so it got spoiled for me many times, and I tried so hard to not spoil it for Megan. And
okay, this is him trying hard. It's like, let's watch the finale of Top Chef. And this is me. Oh, I'm so nervous about it. And this is Alex.
What could I do?
Yeah.
What could I do?
Alex, you really tried hard.
Is what you could have done. To be completely honest.
It's been a long time since you've had a good poker face. Huh?
She snuck up on me with that phrase, and I tried so hard.
I'm so nervous. That
really,
snuck
we've been
up
nervous
on you?
For a week.
I have been okay. Look,
of
I spent
all the things she could have said.
I was dealing with this tragedy of Nick winning for 24 hours alone, and I think I deserve some credit for keeping that bottled up. I wanted to wake her up when I found out and just tell her how sad the world is, but I didn't. And then second of all, I sighed a little bit and then immediately tried to play it as if I was just messing with her. And I did a good job, and I got her to a place where she could have denial about who won and think that maybe it was going to go okay. I tried really hard.
I had a little bit of denial. Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
I had a bad feeling going in, which, Chris, actually, you did a pretty good job of, like, neither confirming nor denying.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I was kind of on my last legs when we watched it, so that was for the best.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that occurred to me, like, obviously it had been spoiled for me, so it's hard to say, but I felt like all of that emphasis on how close it was, and especially the way they, like, Tarantino'd the ending like that, where they showed the, like, piece at the beginning, I really felt like that was the producers apologizing for Tom's bad decision. I feel like they kept pushing how close it was to make us feel like it was okay that it had ended wrong.
Well,
so you blame Tom.
Oh, I 100% blame Tom.
I clearly
okay, let's,
do.
Let's talk about that.
And I just wanted to add one more thing as far as like the lead up to this decision. I felt like there was, as soon as we switched to Hawaii, and maybe even a little before, we went on some serious like humanitarian effort for Nick's character. Like, they've been pushing his like softer side since the start of kind of the finals. Yeah. And I just had I knew that meant bad things. You just know. When someone's been a jerk and they're going to win, they're like, ooh, let's make him look less like a jerk.
So, as soon as I got to Hawaii, the Nick apology tour started.
The Nick apology tour started when really he should have donned that hair shirt back when Stephanie went home. And he just opted not to.
He chose not to. Yeah, if the day after he sent Stephanie home for his mistake, if he'd showed a picture of his daughter in a bunny suit, it would have been all different from there on.
And just, like, cried.
Yeah, they waited until the last episode to show that.
I don't know if I'm a good man. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Something casual.
Feel something, Nick.
You know, just a casual remark, like.
Yeah, just questioning the nature of his existence.
This is my sickness unto death.
So that's the buildup.
Wait, Chris, was he like a German robot in your version?
he was Kierkegaard at Tron.
Yeah.
A Danish robot.
I don't know what Nicholas's last name is. It could be Kierkegaard. I'd believe you.
Yeah, they haven't shown it every single episode.
So I mean, let's start here. I think one of the things that we forget sometimes on this show is that it's a show that goes by elimination, not by victory each week. So the winner of Top Chef just needs to be second to the bottom every week. And until Nicholas pulled that off. Including the finale. If you're the second worst in the finale, you win. So Nicholas managed to be second worst every single week. And he even said, like, getting into at the beginning of this challenge, he started with, I survived 29 challenges. Nina didn't say that she survived. She competed in 29 challenges. Nick survived 29 challenges.
Yeah, I thought that I noticed that wording as well. And I was like, yeah, quite literally.
Yeah, that was his. Like, that was the closest he came to acknowledging that he sucked on the show.
Yeah.
And had the worst performance of Hosea-level proportions. I got several emails from people about how this was a Hosea-level disappointment.
I definitely, yeah, I would agree.
I mean, I'd say it's a Hosea is Kevin level disappointment, but yeah.
Sorry, who? You mean Schnapple and Dappleby?
Yes, Schnapple and Dappleby level.
Yeah. Oh, I liked him.
I did too. Kevin? I did too, Megan.
Yeah.
He never offended me, and he came from nowhere. Like, I didn't know he was.
Yeah, Kevin was like the ficus of that season. Yeah. If ficus had won,
just a big old surprise, which was less difficult to deal with.
Well, wasn't that whole season just like?
Yeah, but Stefan was doing well.
No.
Stefan is
no,
a total different.
Who else was in Kevin's season?
So wrong. Stefan.
Angelo.
You don't remember anyone.
Angelo. Angelo was doing well.
You're right.
Why are we doing this show, you guys?
It's so hard. All right, so let's
talk about the food.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, let's talk about food.
I mean,
course by course.
Okay.
Here's my thought. So Tom has spent a lot of time on Twitter defending this decision to people, and
yeah, well, including against the internet, which called him racist.
Sure. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Sorry, the internet
or sexist. There are things. Yeah, and I don't think those are what's going on at all.
No,
those have no merit whatsoever.
I don't think so. But the thing is, when something like this happens, we didn't taste the food, so we only have Bravo's opinion of what happened. So the fact that people are so upset means the edit did not make it clear that Nick should win. So Tom is defending his decision by giving us information we didn't have.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a good point.
So Tom on Twitter mentioned the actual vote count of every course, and that's how he got the Nick 11, Nina 9. And that was the like, if we'd had that information, if we'd known how they were actually voting. So first course all Nina, last course all Nick, and then the middle was 3-2 Nina and 4-1 Nick. So if we had known that the fourth course was really 4-1, it would have been easy to say it seemed like Nick won. But the edit really did not make it seem like that. The edit made it look like everyone thought Nina won except Tom, and that he overruled them. That was what I felt going into
And you guys, the thing about the edit is like it. I think Tom has a really good point, and I think it's really right to recognize that, because we saw something that we don't often see in Top Chef in this episode. Did you notice that there was a, like, probably minute or two supercut where everything was just the shiny, happy version? So it was just a cut during the second round. So basically there were two groups of diners, and then they switch restaurants. During the second restaurant, it was all, like, there was, like, happy music, and it was just supercut of everyone being like, this is really good. Oh, man, this is really good. This is really good. And everything, like, if there were that many good comments for everything, then we know that all the criticisms are in the context of, you know, other stuff. It's not like the only note we have is this wasn't good. It's everything's amazing. If we had to find a criticism, it'd be this. And how much does that criticism, like, impact the enjoyment of the meal? Emeril had a really undercooked duck, and he couldn't eat it at all.
Couldn't eat it,
But that was that only counted for his one judge vote. There are four other judges that had amazing duck.
Right.
I really think that if the teams had been switched, like if Tom had experienced the first service at Nick, because it seemed like
Nick's first service was much worse.
The duck was a problem in Nick's first service, and then I don't know if the scallop noodles were different in the first service or not, but everyone
didn't like them.
Yeah, everyone in the first service hated them.
And Tom said it was the best thing he'd eaten all season.
Loved them. And so I don't know if there was some sort of difference in them.
It definitely felt like there was a big difference from round one to round two. And actually, that was something that Alexandra asked us on Facebook was, do you think the outcome would have been different if they'd all been together versus split into two teams? And I would say, yes, if they'd all been at Nicholas's first, and if they'd all been at Nicholas's second, it would have been the same, maybe even stronger for Nicholas winning, because it seemed like he had a really uneven service, and Nina
guys,
was like,
from
straight.
A food perspective, do you think that, I mean, because, like, for instance, so much of, like, that scallop noodle thing is like, oh, yeah, this is an interesting texture that Jason knows how to do, and he even said, it's a blank canvas. It's all going to be about the sauce that's on it. Think about how much better a sauce is after it simmers another 2 hours. You know, like, so the first service sauce could have been uneven, a little watery, you know, whatever.
Totally.
And by the second service, that sauce is rich and unctuous and, like, really firing on all cylinders.
So I think that's a super smart comment. But what I'm surprised is that Tom did not seem. It seems like normally, if one dish is like one version of the dish is good and one is bad, Tom will say, "Okay, mine was great, but the fact that yours was bad matters to me, and that means it was uneven." And today he seemed like, "No, you're wrong, Emerald. This was great."
Well, and that's where I actually, because the fact that they invented this voting system, it made me wonder how, because there have been close votes before, just like during the proceedings. Yeah. So how did they weigh that out?
Yeah.
Because in other situations, I think that type of logic would work. Like if part of the dish didn't work for one of the diners, it doesn't just only count for that one person.
No.
That affects the rest of the panel. And I think it should.
Yeah. It seemed like
performance. And in the final, that shouldn't be acceptable.
Maybe that's partly because it was 3 o'clock in the morning and they wanted to just decide and go home. And Tom was not budging on anything.
Yeah. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm impressed that they could add numbers together. Like I can't do anything at that point.
Count fingers. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, oh my God.
You know, and I'm sure they had producers working with them to help try and figure this out.
And give them coffee.
And give them coffee and, you know, whatever else.
Yeah, they had, like, 5-hour energy, like, patches on their, like,
I mean, they definitely talked about, like, Hugh on the blog talked about how tired, and Gail said she actually fell asleep at the during deliberation more than once.
Oh, my God, and Gail's pregnant.
And she's super pregnant.
Yeah, and Gail is very pregnant.
So all did right, she get a vote and a half?
Sleeping anyways.
Right. So I think that's a big part of what happened. What else do you guys notice during the rounds?
Well, I noticed that, you know, it just seemed like Nina's concept for what she wanted to do fell a little flat. That sometimes, like for instance, the swordfish dish to me was a blend of Italian and island. And it seemed like it was a good idea that didn't quite work on the plate.
That was her big miss, yeah.
I don't think the concept in that dish was the problem. I think it was Travis. He was in charge of that dish, and he made a bad dish. Oh. And she picked Travis. I don't know. I was mad at her from the beginning for doing that.
She picked Travis for his gossip nature, not for his sauce abilities.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think that... The way that
for his ability to dish, man.
Right. Not his ability to make a dish. Ah, that's good.
The way that I saw that situation was that the problem was the concept of the dish. Or not necessarily the concept, but the like the way that it sounded maybe in when she was thinking of it didn't really translate to the way that it worked out. And I don't know that was really Travis's fault. Like if they'd said like, oh, there's this like technical problem with the way the swordfish is cut, then I would have been really mad.
Right.
But
which they did actually say about Nicholas's hamachi was that it was not cut very well.
Right.
That was his first dish.
Yeah, it was his first dish with the apple.
That hissy fit about his knife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, no, because it's still got fish parts from.
Carlos.
Those Carlos fish parts have really messed up his technique.
It makes it a jagged cut.
I mean, I know that Nina's swordfish was like a big miss, but I feel like the thing that was really disappointing to me was her choice of doing a dessert that she knew wasn't good or that she knew wasn't impressive. And I know that she had like the idea for the ice cream at the beginning that might've been a lot better. Although I don't know, I guess I just don't see how an ice cream can be much of a complete dish.
Yeah. When she was called out about doing a dessert, because they said, well, it's not required. Why are you doing it? Tom asked her. And then, like, the whole ice cream story came out, too. And then she was like, well, I don't even like dessert at all. I prefer a cheese plate. And I was like, well, then why aren't you just doing something with cheese?
I yes and no. I find that to have been, like, one of the most, like the two-faced thing of Tom. Like, to say you don't have to do a dessert when we have seen judges say you should have done a dessert.
Yeah, why didn't you do a dessert? That'd be the question. Why didn't you do a dessert?
Damned if you do, damned if you don't, I think.
I don't know about that. I think if you construct a meal that doesn't require a dessert at the end, or if you give them an element that feels like it ends the meal, then you can get away with it.
Well, she certainly wouldn't have won if she'd put up a cheese plate, although I would have loved it.
Okay, if I remember, guys, with the Hosea debacle, I think Hosea did not do a dessert and Stefan did that cake pop or whatever, the lollipop thing.
It was like 90s and dated.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like you can totally win without dessert. It would have been part of the conversation and be like, oh, well, you know, Nick did give a dessert. It's like, yeah, but Nina's dish was the best thing we had from her.
And it finished on a nice note. It was still light. You know, it's not like just like a side of bison. It's, you know,
Side
of bison. You
know, I do like that as a finish.
Another savory element that worked would have been it, I think.
I think that's a really good point. And she did get crushed on the dessert. I mean, she lost 5-0 on the dessert.
Yeah, here's the deal. If one person had liked her dessert better than Nicholas's dessert, then the tiebreaker would have probably been her extra courses that everybody loved.
Yeah, or her running a better service or her cooking better food the whole season. What do you guys think about Tom's insistence that we don't take the fact that he was screaming at his servers in front of the judges into consideration. Do you think that's not part of being a good chef, is having some sense of decorum?
I mean, once again, Tom wasn't there for that.
No, he was. They heard him yelling from the table.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That was in the back. But he wasn't there when Hugh was there and
right.
Nick was like yelling at the servers in front
of while he was. Lands on the left.
At yeah, he was table. Really. Yeah, he took them down like in front of people, which I thought was pretty
classless,
surprising.
Yeah,
I thought it was. Yeah, I mean, and again, like, unfortunately, sometimes Top Chef is not a world in which justice really exists.
Nope.
Like, I think people get away with deplorable behavior on this show more often than I would food. Like. And in favor of good food, people get away with being pretty awful.
Yeah,
and it's because their food is good, and I don't agree with that, but I understand why it exists.
Do you guys think that the insistence on it being just the most recent food, that you're only as good as the most recent thing you put out, that is something that Tom sticks by, that the Top Chef Canada judges don't stick by? They take into consideration past performance. Project Runway judges take into consideration past performance as well. Yeah. Do you think it was this close? Yeah, definitely.
Oh, but they, not in the finale.
They always say, like, this is how far someone and so has come, or, like, this is all we've ever seen is ruffles from this person. Like, they say something like that all the time.
Romney's clearly the better draper.
Oh, they did.
Romney. Mitt Romney is clearly the better draper.
He was one of my favorite contestants on Project Runway. Got robbed, though, at the end.
Yeah.
But do you think it's fair to take anything into consideration, the fact that, like, Nina has done the best food all season every day and Nick's not done anything right yet?
I think it can cut you both ways, unfortunately. Like, I mean, how many contestants have we seen flame out when we thought that they were the best thing ever?
Sure.
And then, you know, and then there's a point at which you're like, Jamie, stop cooking scallops and go home. Like, we can't just assume because you had some
not
good dishes
scallop.
Originally.
Yeah.
You know, like, it can go both ways. But when someone's been as consistent as Nina, it just feels wrong to pretend like Nick is her equal.
Yeah, it's tragic.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I agree that, like, you know, it can be a really positive thing because it makes you separate out from a sense of nostalgia or a sense of sentimentality about that chef because they cooked you something you really loved two episodes ago. Because the challenges do get harder and you do have to eliminate one person each time during the season.
Well, or the challenges get easier because at first it's team challenges and later you get to cook just whatever you want with less baggage, and also there are fewer chefs to beat.
Yeah, but only the good ones.
On the pressure's mounting and you're sleeping less and less. I don't know.
No, that's true.
Maybe it's harder.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't suggest that you should say, oh, Nina cooked much worse food tonight, but we should have her win for historic reasons. But in a case where you're deadlocked for hours on end and everybody is upset, instead of trying to, like, make arbitrary numbers cause this thing, like, if it really is tied, like, these are both amazing meals, perfect, everything's great, Nina wins the season, instead of picking Nick wins tonight, and thus it negates everything that's happened all season.
I mean, the way I feel about this, guys, is kind of like, I think the season, like, you know, everything before Hawaii, that's the regular season, and then after that, it's the playoffs. And the thing about the playoffs is it's like, it's kind of a bit more random. It's a small sample size.
Doesn't necessarily pick the best team. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of heartbreaking. But I think the season is what, you know, kind of determines who you really are. I think you can't hide yourself in the season. And I think ultimately, Nina's going to be fine. You know, like, I think, like, I think I was angry about this because, like, hey, I want all good things to happen to Nina and, you know, her to, you know, feel good about herself and win and succeed in her dreams and all that stuff. But, like, she's probably going to get all that.
I have no doubt that she'll be fine. I guess I'm more concerned that Nick will, like, be vindicated, or he'll get to think, like, his behavior was okay in polite society.
I mean,
yeah,
I think...
Yeah, there's something about this one that, like... Yeah. Because normally when people go home, I agree, as I feel like, oh, you know, they'll be fine. They showed how great they are, and people will totally see that, and they've got all this exposure. And there's just something about, like, him going home with this title that I just imbue the title with so much meaning of, like, like, you embody all these traits that mean that you really are, like, the best chef. And I feel like he's not that person.
Okay.
And
that's
upsetting.
Well, how many of these, I guess, past seasons... do you actually like the winner?
It's a good question. I think it's 2-1, good to bad, but that's still like.
I'm going to go through them all, all right? So, Harold, Alon, Hung, Stephanie, Hosea, Michael V, Kevin, Blaze, Paul, Kristen, and Nicholas.
So I would say...
So I like 6 out of 11.
Yeah, me too. 6 out of 11. So it's a little better than 50-50.
Yeah, I would say I've liked a little bit more than that. I don't know. There's... Yeah, that's hard to say.
Just when you counted there, I definitely had 6 that I thought were the right decisions. I mean, like, the thing about Little Vault was that if Big Vault had won, I would not have been upset either. Like, those were... Like, that was a season where it was like everyone was doing so well.
Yeah, or if Beard Kevin had won.
Oh, yeah. I would have loved if Kevin had won. So all 3 of them were great. So that's not a problem. But
maybe that counts for 2.
yeah, they got the right finale. Yeah, because really the mistake was made here last week, letting Nicholas continue on in Hawaii.
No, the mistake wasn't made last week. The mistake was made when they decided to give immunity.
You're right.
Like, yeah. However many ago.
Yeah, this is
kept using that immunity.
Still
that
producer
in.
Error, and it was several episodes back. You're right. But yeah, so if it's like, yeah, it's about 50-50 shot that the champion actually gets all those traits that I want. You're right. Still sucks though.
Yeah,
I've never been
make
at
it
like
suck any less this time.
This one, like even Hosea, I was like over. Like it seemed like we preferred Stefan, but Stefan had kind of given up. He was not trying very hard.
Yeah. I don't remember this at all. I thought. I mean, I was rooting for Carla that whole time.
Yeah, but I also didn't think Carla was. She was not. She was great, but she also didn't seem like she was cooking to make herself undeniable in that case either. With Hosea, I remember that being kind of like that season fizzled.
It did.
And so it's not that Hosea was like the biggest disappointment. Like it seemed very reasonable. It was unfortunate, but it was reasonable. Whereas this feels unjust.
That whole thing, I just remember being heartbroken because I really wanted Carla to win.
I remember wanting Carla to win. And I remember not being terribly crazy about Stefan either. Like Hosea was the worst possible option. Stefan wasn't that great an option.
No, he was a total pain, but he had been winning more. He had been
That particular season, not in All Stars, but in that particular season, he had won a lot of the challenges. And so it felt a little bit more just if he had he had been the one to win.
Yeah.
But I don't like him.
He would have been like Hung winning or clear. Yeah, but it was like Hung, where nobody liked Hung. Like, no one was like, oh, I love the way you throw all those lobsters on the floor in front of people. But they were like, they thought he was a better chef. It made sense for Hung to win.
I like Hung way better than I like Stefan, though. Just
You're right.
Hung doesn't seem like a womanizer.
Yeah, he wasn't a toucher, the way. Speaking of which, let's go back to this kissing. Why does Nick kiss so many of his mom on the mouth so many times?
So many of his moms.
So many of his moms.
Why does he kiss so many mouths? Why is that number of mom mouth kisses?
Like too many moms to be kissing on the mouth.
Greater than one.
I think it was just because, like, for contrast, like, I can't remember. I feel like the way that it was shot, like, you know, we have Nina being sad, and then we have Nick, like, making out with his wife. And then we have more of, like, Nina being sad and, like, talking to somebody. And then Nick is, like, making out with his mom.
Yeah.
And it just was a little jarring.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Also, I didn't like that Nina made baby goat. There's got to be a name for it, a better name for it than baby goat, because it just sounds horrible when you say it that way.
Right. Like, veal is sort of like, I don't really have to think about exactly.
Yeah.
It's a PR decision.
Goat veal.
I don't think baby goat has a.
I think it's a kid, and I don't think you want to call it.
Yeah, you're right.
Just a kid. I just took some kid.
An excellent point. The kid is really
kid
chewy today.
Some kid off an organic farm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and another sad point, guys, sorry to add to our misery, is when Nina had Shirley and Stephanie on her team, I remembered how much I missed Shirley and Stephanie.
I know.
Yeah, that is a bummer. Thanks for bringing
you're still
us down
alive,
again.
Chris.
Yeah, guys, they're at the best point of their careers. It's okay.
No, they do. And, like, actually, you know, it's been implied that Nina is sort of doing okay anyway. And that this money actually did mean more for Nicholas than it would have meant for.
Even though
he doesn't deserve it.
He had
just,
to,
you know,
he had to put it into doing something evil. He had to have. There was some evil that needed funding, and he had to do it.
Well, early on in this episode, they were doing interviews, and he said, "I think I deserve to win Top Chef because I've really shown that I've grown a lot more over this season." And I was like,
most
it's
improved.
Not most improved.
Most improved. Nicholas definitely wins most improved this year. That is definitely the award that we would give him.
Come on.
She improved too, but like she actually won things. Like Nick was nothing and then all of the things. So he really biggest jump and in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's jump into some listener mail. I really do appreciate everybody who just tweeted at us no or some version of that.
Yeah.
Got a lot of those.
Thanks for the support, guys.
I got a lot of single swear words.
Yeah.
there's a lot of anger floating around. Let me ask a couple of questions for you guys. So Jay number two asked by email, he said, here's something that occurred to me tonight. How much more interesting would it have been if the final chefs got to pick their opponent's sous chefs?
Ooh, you know, I was actually thinking that myself, Jay number two. Like, before they announced what was going to happen, I was like, oh, I think they're going to have them choose the other person's sous chefs. But then they didn't, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I wouldn't have liked it.
That'd be rough.
Yeah.
That'd be rough for the finals.
It would. I mean,
insulting to everyone, I think, also.
Right. Right. If you're, you're all the booby prize.
Yes. you are the obstacle that no one can overcome.
Well, so Jay number two suggests that if he were Nina, he would have picked Nick's assistants to be Stephanie, Carlos, and Michael, which is sort of like, here are your ghosts of chef past. Like, then it's more of a people who hate you cooking with you revenge fantasy thing that is very different.
And then it becomes about their moral judgment and like, are they good enough to just like do the right thing, or will they do something crappy instead?
Right.
I think a lot of chefs, especially given, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, that it's more about honor and, you know, respect in the chef community.
Right.
Would probably want to choose the best chefs possible other than your first three picks.
Right.
You know, so that you just like, you know, you want to beat somebody when they have a fair shot.
I mean, I think...
I don't know if Nick would have done that, though.
I don't know. I'm sure he wouldn't.
I don't think he has the honor thing as much.
No, he's clearly not interested in that part of the show. Like, yelling at his servers at judge's table. There's no...
So weird.
He was so awkward.
Stressed out, you guys. He was so stressed out.
Yeah, but you notice how some people stress out and don't yell at their servers in front of judge's table? And by some people, I mean everybody else who's ever been on this show.
I don't know, guys. I was kind of tired the other day. I hired a server. I blamed it all on them.
And then you kissed your mom.
Your fish down in the wrong place, and you just lost it.
I mean, Nina was just like, some people when they're under pressure become total jerks, and other people become exactly who they always were. Yeah.
Well, there's a lesson in there somewhere, but I don't see it.
Yeah. all right, so. Oh, and we did ask about the split teams already. I talked about Alexander's comment. That's mostly it. On Facebook also, Eunice said, this is the first time in 11 seasons that I've disagreed so strongly with the judges' final decision.
Really?
Yeah, which is also interesting. We just talked about liking and disliking some, but is there anything else that's disappointed you this much? Have you ever disagreed with something else this much, you guys?
I think this is the biggest disappointment for me.
In your life?
Yes.
I mean, September 11th was a big deal.
Oh, God.
Second to the
11th. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I disagree.
Yes, if you were expecting it to be a regular day, then yes.
I mean, okay.
I was very disappointed.
So I disagree with Chris's joke right there, but other than that.
Yeah.
Other than that,
Chris's joke was
disappointment
the worst
of the entire
It's the worst thing that happened to me.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, I mean,
the worst part is I can never forget.
Yeah.
You've always been voted off for.
That was the second worst joke.
That was the second worst.
Chris, is your job to make yourself the villain so you can secretly win this podcast?
No, quick, let's go to Hawaii so Chris gets like a hero edit.
I just have to survive this next episode.
I guess the hardest thing for me is what we've already kind of talked about. Like, there's this feeling of injustice and like things have gone very poorly, but at the same time, you weren't there and you couldn't taste it, so you don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just how razor thin that margin truly was.
Right.
I don't know.
And exactly.
I mean, 11-9. That's how close.
You know, and you know, I don't know. There's part of me that's like, do a blind taste test, and then maybe would know. Or I don't know.
Right.
Just,
yeah, yeah. It's so you have to go through the stages of grief, guys. And if you're still in, like trying to bargain that way through it, it's gonna be tough. I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's okay, but you have to kind of accept that this shit happened, and there's no way out.
I guess I accept that it happened. I do believe that.
I don't think... I mean, I am so disappointed, but I do feel like the way that I saw that... I don't know. I don't feel like it's so unfair that Nick won this particular challenge. I do think that Nina made a pretty crucial mistake in choosing that dessert that was just sort of like a nothing dish.
I agree with you guys. I think you guys are absolutely right. I do think that she probably felt like she had to make a dessert because the show has made it seem like you have to make a dessert. But you guys are absolutely right that as soon as she said, "I don't like dessert," that's good enough. That's a strong enough reason to not cook dessert in your four-course meal about your life. Yeah. That's 25% of your meal you don't like. I mean, I hate you for not liking dessert. That made her a lot less likable in my, like, baby goat, and she hates dessert. Like,
yeah, maybe she's starting to lose then, right?
Yeah, at that point, I was like, maybe I'd actually get along better with Nick. At least he likes
dessert.
Didn't
kill a baby goat. Yeah.
She didn't kill the baby goat.
We didn't see it.
No, she cooked it in that giant, whatever that thing is, that industrial... It looked like
crazy, like a hotel pan or something.
It was a hotel pan, right?
It was a hotel pan, but it was a hotel pan on wheels that was like 10 by 20. It was a gigantic...
Yeah, it was like a crab sorting table.
Yeah, it was a... now you're talking my language, Chris.
What, it's tipped?
The
it did the whole thing.
Baby goat collector bone crusher deluxe.
Well, let's just call it a kid crusher deluxe. So I agree. I think that dessert was her big mistake. The two mistakes were made, you guys. The two of them were Nina cooking dessert and the judges letting Nicholas still be here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the producers letting Nick still be here. Sorry.
Yeah, this one sort of hurts on the level of, like, I remember when Bearded Kevin came back for the finale and he just found out he was getting divorced and it was a surprise to him.
Yeah.
And so he was, like, super duper off his game that whole time and didn't make it. And I was really rooting for him. And I remember that felt super sad. It was just really just like,
remember when he got to go compete in that international competition of a ton of little tiny foods?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what that's called, but he like won the challenge, which allowed him to compete for Team USA.
And it was like in Europe or something.
Yeah, some weird.
Yeah, that was cool.
He was so great. I liked him. But the Vault Brothers were also incredible all season long. So even though I was sad for him.
Yeah.
And like Little Volt was a jerk to everybody, although he never yelled at his staff in front of the judges.
No, they still had some dignity.
Yeah. And Big Volt, I loved watching Big Volt on
Touch
at Masters.
He was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guys, I hate to say it, but so everything about Nick winning, we haven't said like one thing that we liked about any of his food. It's all just sort of been like about like, okay, so the best dish of the season, like Jason just did that, right? And like, or you know, it's just like
he didn't. I mean, like Nick did conceive of it, and Nick did say, "Hey, I know you can do this thing."
Wait, he conceived of the thing that is on Jason's menu that he's famous for?
No, it's just scallop
noodles. But you know, like he knows Jason could do that, but then it was the other stuff with that dish.
Yeah, the shrimp made bisque. It good.
Yeah. Okay, so he made a bisque over that.
And
also interesting though is that Hugh hated that dish, and if Hugh had been judging, easily Nina would have won. And then also Emeril hated the duck, so if Emeril had been judging, he would have had Nina win too. So even if it's 9-11 on rounds, on judges. I don't know. I think it was a lot closer. I think it might have been.
I think there was some really bad luck in the way that in Tom being there for the second serving.
Yeah, I mean, after the first seating, it felt like watching it. It felt like Nick should resign. He was so far behind. There's no point in him being there. And then after the second one, it felt like he won. So really uneven during the day. But
I mean, so one, I guess the things I would point out, like. It's pretty important. Nick got better throughout service. Like, he figured out what the errors were and could fix them, which is kind of important.
Give him the most improved ribbon. I agree.
And the other thing is, I guess, so Nina shouldn't have left anything, you know, Nina shouldn't have made anything that close, but also I think credit to Nick for staying with her, I guess, and, being able to match her close enough so that when she screws up dessert, he can go on top.
I mean, to be fair, credit to Nick. He is top chef. He won. So he's gotten some credit. I don't know how nice we need to be to him.
He's got 125,000.
He won the money. As much as like, and honestly, his hamachi thing looked really, really tasty. And I had to admit, like, I would totally be excited to eat that. But
well, that was the worst of the two crudos,
though. The credit. As so, I mean, you know,
yeah,
like he won. Good for him.
Yeah. Also, I think Nina's. It seemed like Nina's tiny dishes were also really good. They really liked them, and I was especially impressed by the breadfruit with whipped foie gras butter.
Yeah, that was smart.
Because I had just read a long article after last week about how breadfruit is so tasteless and everybody hates breadfruit, and so the idea of something like as strong as foie gras butter is what's needed to make breadfruit edible. I thought that was really smart of her.
Also, it was a nice a nice choice for the bread dish, right? Like that was a bread course.
Yeah, it was clever.
Yeah, and also I would have enjoyed a meal with more surprises in it as opposed to just the four dishes.
Yeah, well, yeah, surprises or like screaming at servers, they're both good. I'll take either.
Yeah, I mean I would eat in Hell's Kitchen just to hear Gordon yell at somebody who doesn't deserve it. I mean, that's part of the fun. Oh, also another thought that occurs to me on Nicholas's dessert. How weird is it that he won dessert when everybody thought it was delicious, but Tom hated that it was called panna cotta because it wasn't a panna cotta. Tom let it fly. Man. Tom let the naming convention go. That's also weird. Tom was being very un-Tom on
that. Or at least liked it better than Nina's.
Yeah. I think it was, yeah.
Well, again, because Nina's was called dessert. And
if it had been called cheese course, it would have been worse. I mean,
what do you mean cheese course? This is a chocolate donut.
Also, did anyone notice Tom's hats this time?
They were and he was wearing that ridiculous paneled chef.
And what about Nina's neck thing? Padma? What is Padma wearing on her neck?
Yeah, Padma's like huge choker situation.
I don't know what was going on there. That was
fringed
weird.
Bikini.
The bikini, right?
Yeah,
the bikini was confusing because everyone else was dressed. It was not.
Shit, is that like a sexy rodeo?
Yeah. Normal clothes, and she's just in a bikini.
Yeah, I was fine with it.
Yeah, you would be.
Let it ride.
Do you guys have, I mean, like, so I think, I don't know how much more there is to say about the finale.
We're at our final thoughts time.
Just like the final thoughts on the season as a whole.
I think that's exactly right. Let's have our reunion episode now. Let's look back on the season together. I think, I'll start here. I think one of the reasons why we are able to be so upset is because it was a good season.
I agree. Yeah,
I feel like there are other earlier seasons where like the person who won is like not impressive, but that's because the whole season was a waste.
Yep, mm-hmm. I guess it's Elyon.
Yeah, like Elyon is like, I can't be that angry about it because I'm not sure who else I would pick. It's not, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, this is not the lost season of DC, right? Like,
no, it's not.
Like, I think like maybe it was a little slow in the first half, but I feel like this season got pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was a long season, so the fact that it had a lot of it.
Yeah. It felt, it was very engaging, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
The producers did the job they set out to of showcasing New Orleans well. I would love to go to New Orleans now, so the tourism board spent those dollars well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They showcased, like a lot of chefs, I think, like showed themselves to be like people who I'd be excited to eat at a bunch of their restaurants.
Definitely.
Right? Like I'd love to.
Totally.
Stephanie or Shirley or Carrie in Seattle, which is more likely for me.
One of the best things about Nina, being excited about going to New Orleans, you know, Hawaii.
Yeah.
I feel really good about Hawaii.
Hawaii also had a strong showing in this episode.
Yeah, in the New Orleans season.
I would have appreciated more POG references, but
yeah. I also, you know, I mean, I think Hawaii is a great finale location, and I you know, it's hard to have finale locations. That's difficult too to keep because it has to seem kind of adventurous. Like when they went to LA, that was a disappointment.
Yeah.
Finale in LA is not very exciting. And when they went to Singapore, it seemed too aggressive. So
so much that it almost killed Angelo.
Yeah.
Especially taking, oh God, what was his name? The super weird guy.
Angelo?
With the pants. Angelo, thank you. Taking Angelo to Singapore. Pants.
Yeah, almost
he
killed
always
him.
He had really like flowy, crazy pants.
Oh, yeah.
Pants guy.
I was like, what do you mean?
They all had pants.
Yeah, no,
but yeah.
Taking Angelo to Singapore
Angelo
seemed
got
risky.
Food poisoning.
Yeah.
Right.
It always seemed risky to me.
Yeah.
Right. So I think Hawaii is a great destination. I like the island feel of it. I don't like that all the chefs feel like they have to cook something inspired by the place they are for the finale, especially if it's cook your own food. But it seemed minimally invasive here since everyone cooked well. But
yeah, it's just better fish,
unlike
basically.
Other foreign
right, yeah, a lot of good
Hawaii.
Fish.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
I was just saying, unlike other foreign species in Hawaii.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't hear
invasive things.
Invasive.
Oh,
invasive.
I get it. Fine. Yeah. I mean, I think the humans are the invasive part of Hawaii, I think. Pretty much going
spam,
fine with
spam
us.
Containers.
Yeah, spam containers and us.
No, those are native.
Also, wild pigs.
Other thoughts on this season? I felt like the producers were trying a lot of new things this year, and I think most of them were successful. With the major flaw of the
knife block
of the lack of knife block and the
perma immunity
and the perma immunity and the immunity is the one that ruined the show.
That again, the immunity thing.
I think they learned their lesson.
I hope so. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah. But bring back the knife block.
More knife block.
I missed it.
Hashtag more knife block.
Yeah. I like wacky quick fires. I think we could have had a few more wacky quick fires.
Mm. I miss the mise en place.
Yeah. Or the taste test.
Yeah. No mise en place. No place.
It's so fun. I always
two favorite
that
quick fires. Never disappointed by those. Right. Totally would like to see them again.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even the one where like you're bound together in a double apron.
Oh, I like that one. Oh, I like or the one where you forced your sister to cook something through a wall.
Oh, yeah, by yelling at her.
I liked the Top Chef Masters device, I guess, of the cooking through a wall. I thought that was actually
that was
really
my
fun.
Favorite. That was God. Ruth Reichel with her funny voice that she used. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I liked... Ugh. Do you remember the challenge where they had Tom cook a perfect dish in like 8 minutes and then everyone had to use those ingredients? And then one of the villains used Tom's leftovers?
Yeah, it was Marcel for... It was All Stars.
Oh, was it really? Yeah. That was like... annoying but also really clever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Mark McEwen did that on Canada last season as well.
Oh yeah, they had him cook something.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys excited for Canada?
I'm always excited for Top Chef Canada.
Me
Alex.
Too.
It's a delight.
We've had several people.
Thickness is very high.
It is. PNT. We've had several people ask us to review the show, and I know we'll be watching it. I don't think we're gonna be able to do weekly episodes about it, but we may do a check-in or two about it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll at least do a wrap-up after the season's over. We'll meet and talk about it. I think we can commit
bring
to that,
people
right?
Together to talk about it every once in a while.
Yeah, I think that's definite. Maybe blog about it from time to time. I'll definitely be watching it and keep telling us your thoughts. We'd love to have like an open thread where people can comment and discuss it on packyourmics.com. And then, this fall, there'll be another season. And, they got picked up again. They're excited. But I can't wait for the when we find out the bids for what city it's going to be.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about general Top Chef news in a little while when we hear more about what the cities might be. And, all that
stuff.
Do
we know anything? Is Masters getting picked up for another season?
I haven't heard, but I'm assuming they are. I assume that it'll be back.
It's always awesome.
I know, Masters is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's consistently a lot of fun. I agree. It's gotten better each year, too. The first year was fun, but also weird, where it was like five chefs compete and only one moves on five times or something.
Oh, yeah. That was confusing.
That was a weird structure.
Yeah, it was a weird round robin type thing. I mean,
yeah, except that Hubert cooked in the shower.
Yeah.
One of the great, my favorite Top Chef moments. He didn't cook in the shower. He just cooled his pasta noodles in the shower, but it was still awesome.
Yeah. Also, Hugh got eliminated very early on.
He did, which is too bad because I adore him.
Wait, did Hugh compete?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that. Are you sure?
He over or undersalted something and went out as the very first person.
Wait, I remember there was like something with the it was the Maillard reaction, right? Wasn't the science fair one that he got knocked out?
There was something about some caramelization. I forget.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Was it really Hugh?
I bet my life on it.
Whoa!
I don't know who's gonna take that bet. And also, what do you get if you win? Someone else in other
double life. Double life.
Or you get to kill.
You get to kill one person anywhere in the world. You just get
any
person.
Everyone fair is fair. Look the other way.
Yeah, it's all I won the bet, you guys. I said it on a podcast.
He finished in fifth place.
I
was eliminated in the first round.
Oh, and subsequently returned in the second episode after another chef withdrew.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
He ultimately finished fifth place out of 12 competitors.
Find out why he was eliminated in the first round, though. I bet you it's salt.
Okay.
And also, as you were probably right about the Maillard reaction episode, you might have been on both of those. That's fun. I'd go back and watch him now that I've decided that he's great. He was fun on the show, too. I remember liking him on Masters, too. Anyway, what a neat guy. Yeah.
But he was a judge early on, right? Or no, he wasn't?
Yeah, so part of Masters was having some of the early judges come cook. Mm-hmm. That's sort of like
he judged season 9, it looks like.
So that's it, you guys. I think that's oh wait, there's one more thing. Chris, your top podcaster.
What?
I can't believe it.
I know, it's a surprise.
I can't go behind.
I know, it's a big surprise.
Jesus.
I was rooting for
and
Megan,
anyone but Chris, right, guys?
Wow. You know,
this is the second biggest disappointment. This is Chris's worst joke.
Oh man, I always knew I had to pod my own cast. And,
yep. You had to talk your own food.
Most improved.
Tony just gave you that ready-made joke that you used.
Yeah.
I would say you're most improved on the show, Chris. That's easy. I think that's where you won.
There were too many damn chefs on your TV.
Yeah.
And now...
Maybe I was least improved.
That one, you did peak in that joke.
Yeah.
Guys, it has been so fun hanging out with you this season.
Yay.
I really appreciate you doing the show with me. I've really enjoyed talking Top Chef with you every week. And you guys as well. I was talking to my fellow podcasters just now, but now I'm talking to you, the listener. Thank you for sharing this season with me. I've had so much fun.
Thank you all.
Yeah, it's been so, so great.
And
thanks, listeners, for making me care about this thing, which ended up ripping out my heart.
Yeah.
That's a way to
at
say
least
it.
We're all in it together.
As you're just sleepy and grumpy.
We will look forward to other things with you. Also, we'll continue on at Read It on our other show, Read It and Weep, so you can hear Chris and Ezra and I every week as well doing terrible books and movies. If that's your thing, if you haven't heard that yet, definitely check it out, read-weep.com. And packyourmics.com will continue to exist. You're welcome to start any conversations there with us. We're also at packyourmics on Twitter, facebook.com/packyourmics. And we will still monitor those. Chris will still get push notification on his devices. So any discussions you want to have about Top Chef Canada, we can definitely do there. So please stick around with us. You can also support our show at any time going to packyourmics.com/Amazon. Anytime you need to buy something from Amazon, and a little portion of that will go to us. And we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us all season, Ezra and Sarah.
Yep.
Cheers.
Cheers? Is that what you said?
Cheers.
In a British accent.
I thought you said she is, which is weird.
She is happy to have been here.
Also, thank Cheers. You so much. In Brooklyn, New York, Chris and Tanya.
Yay.
Thanks, everybody.
It's been
tremendous.
And
yeah,
thanks
she is.
And thanks for joining us in our Portland studio, Megan.
It's my pleasure.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks everybody. Goodbye. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. guys, the answer was tarragon.
Wow.